Hello, this is Choices, and this is your host, Judy Mario. Thank you for joining us today. Listeners, I am so happy that you are listening in today because we are talking about how to have more self-confidence. We got a request from Jackie over in Alabama. So, Jackie, this show is for you. And listeners, it's also for you. If you're listening in on how to have more self-confidence, I know that you're going to walk away at the end of this show saying, yes, I can do that. I can believe in myself a little bit more. You know, everything that we do in our lives is because we made a choice about something. And the choices that we make are what have brought us to here where we are right now, right this moment, right in this place. So self-confidence is a choice. Yes, it is. And you can build your self-confidence by working at it, by doing some of the things that we're going to talk about today. It doesn't just come overnight. It comes with experience because, you see, self-confidence has to do with the situation you're in. You're probably a lot more confident in some situations than you are in others. And because I don't know what particular situation might be causing you to have a lack of self-confidence right now, I'm giving you just some generic things you can do, but I am sure you're going to find that whatever the situation is that you're in, that these things are going to help you, because life is an adventure to be lived and you want to be confident. I know I went through a period of time where I was not confident about how to handle myself in situations, social situations, those situations where I had to go somewhere on behalf of my company, like a cocktail party or like a meeting or an event, and I'd have to go by myself to those things, and I wasn't confident in how I would handle myself. I wasn't confident in being there alone, but I had to learn to do that, and the more I did it, the more confidence I feel. The thing you just have to remember is not to be afraid to try. Don't be afraid to try to do something. Anyone gets thrown into unfamiliar situations from time to time. And when that happens, we might be unsure of how to behave, how to act, what the protocols are. But you know what? You're going to learn. You're going to learn just by being there. The more you do it, the more confident you're going to become. You see, you're training your taste to do something a certain way, and you're learning by doing. And no one is born knowing how to do everything. We must learn those things. I have to tell you, I sabotaged myself so many times in my life because growing up, I just didn't have confidence in myself. I wouldn't try to be a cheerleader in high school. I wouldn't go to the tryouts because I was afraid somebody would laugh at me and I wouldn't be good enough. I wouldn't be able to remember the cheers or to do it the right way. And I would be afraid to go to meetings. I'd be embarrassed that I'd be there by myself and nobody knew me and nobody would talk to me. And what was I going to do to stand around by myself looking like a fool? I can't tell you how many times I've been at events, big social events in an evening, and felt kind of like all alone. Even though I was sitting at a table with 9 or 10 other people, I just felt so alone. And then I would excuse myself early and leave. And it was all because I didn't have the confidence to be there and to try to fit in. I just was so uncomfortable, I would just leave. And I had to learn to stop doing that. Stop doing that. You see, the second point I want to make today has a big part of doing with, it has a very big influence on that first point. See, we need to get away from worrying about what people are thinking about us and put our mind on the other people. When I'm sitting there at the table all by myself, worrying about how other people are responding to me, worrying if they're talking to each other and not to me, I'm not thinking about them, I'm thinking about me. And so what I want to do is find a way to be more interested in them. It'll help a lot if you try to think of those people not as strangers, but as people. People who are like you, people who have the same kind of feelings that you do. You want to think who they are and what they like and what they're interested in. Each person is different, and each person has something interesting to say, if he or she is given the chance. And so quit thinking about yourself and start thinking about how can you make those people feel at ease? How can you contribute to their pleasure? How can you help them enjoy the evening? How can you help them feel more comfortable? And you do that by asking questions about them. And ask questions that are open-ended questions. Here's where I used to get in trouble. You want to ask questions that start with the words, what, where, when, who, why, which, because those, even how, because those questions require a longer answer than a yes or no. If you ask questions that start with the words is, can, do, could, should, would, those get you yes or no answers. And that's what I would do. I would ask people questions that would allow them just to say yes. And then there I'd be sitting there having to think up another question. And it made me feel uncomfortable because I had to keep thinking up questions when they were going yes or no. And I'm sure it made them feel uncomfortable because it was like I was interrogating them because I kept asking them another question. But it would have helped me if they had given some kind of a longer response than just a yes or no answer, which brings me to the third thing that you can do. Whatever you can do to help the other people feel more comfortable, then do it. And what that means is if they ask you a question, don't just say yes or no. Add something to it. Add two or three sentences to it. And when you finish with your two or three sentences, then ask them a question that will get more information, because that will cause you to have communication, cause you to have a conversation. And so that's what you want. You want to get away from worrying about what that person's thinking about you, and you want to start putting your mind on the other person. Who are they? What do they do? Where are they from? Who do they know? I was at a cocktail party recently, and I saw a lady standing over by herself and looking like she was kind of waiting on her husband to acknowledge that she was there. So I just walked over and introduced myself and started talking to her, and it turned out that she had worked previously for a very good friend of mine, because when she said she was in the jewelry business, I said, oh, I have a friend that owned the jewelry store at that particular mall, and she said that's the one she worked in, and we got to talking about my friend and what a lovely person she was, and then the next thing I knew, we were finding other things in common to talk about. And so it was making her feel more comfortable. And let me tell you, it was also making me feel more comfortable, because I did not feel comfortable in that group of people at all. But once I started reaching out to others, I found that they reached back. And so it made me feel more comfortable at the same time. Do whatever you can to help yourself relax mentally. And what I mean by that is, think about what you can say to yourself to help you feel more confident. Can you give yourself affirmations before you go to the event? You might even have to do little silent affirmations while you're there. And what an affirmation is, it's where you add a positive word to the statement, I am. So you're affirming something that you want to believe about yourself. So you say to yourself something like, I am confident, I am power, I'm powerful, I'm effective, I'm good at what I do, people like me, I can do this, I can speak to people and they will respond to me. So you're basically having positive self-talk. You're talking to yourself in a way that makes you relax, because so many of us, when we go to these kinds of things, we talk negative to ourselves. We say things like, I can't do this, I don't like this, I don't like these kind of events, I don't know these people, I don't want to be around these people. And that makes us uneasy. So we need to say positive things to ourselves. I can do this. I can carry on a conversation. I can meet the people I need to meet. I can be a powerful personality at this particular event. So you talk to yourself in this very positive way, and that will help you relax mentally. Another thing you might want to do is make sure that you feel comfortable in your clothing. Whenever I feel like I'm dressed right, it gives me more confidence. if you feel like, oops, I'm not dressed right, or, oh, I don't look right, or this doesn't fit right, or I don't like the way I look, and our people are looking at me, they think I look funny, then you're going to create a lot of unease for yourself. So get busy and put your wardrobe together. Pick out 3 or 4 things in your closet and put outfits totally together where when you put on that outfit, you feel like, yes, I look the way I want to look. I look good. And when you look good, you're going to feel better about yourself. And when you feel better, that's going to make you feel so powerful. So choose colors and styles that have some kind of a warm-up appeal, because that will give you more confidence. If you wear clothing that kind of makes people, you know, look like you think you're going to stand out, you're going to stand off, you're standing away from everybody, wear something that makes you feel comfortable and that also makes the other person feel comfortable. Wear the appropriate thing for the occasion. And if anything, dress up a little rather than dressing down. We always want to look as though we are somebody important, as though we are feeling good about who we are and we are confident. Because people want to know people who look confident. People want to know who you are. People will come over and introduce themselves if you look good and you look confident. And then think about, what can you do to put other people at ease? You want to do something to put other people at ease. Now, what I mean by that is, you know, if somebody's standing by themselves, go over and talk to that person. Or if there's an older person there that maybe people aren't really paying attention to, go over and talk to that older person. Or a younger person, perhaps there's a child at an event, and they're kind of sitting there all by themselves looking uncomfortable. I know recently we went to a family reunion, and when we were there, there was only one child there, a little girl about 11 years old, and she was sitting over by herself, just being quiet and sitting to the side and staying out of everybody's way, and she just looked kind of lonely over there. So I went over and I sat down next to her and said, do you mind if I sit here? And she said no, and I asked her who she was related to, and she told me, and we got to talking about things, and I asked her what she liked to do, and it turned out she liked art. And I told her that I was an artist, and she got so excited, and she asked me things about what I painted and what I like to paint. And we had a wonderful conversation, and it was making her feel more comfortable, and it made me feel more comfortable as well. And interestingly enough, several people commented to me that they saw me speaking to her, and they admired that. And I wondered, you know, why couldn't they have done it? Why did they just watch me sit and talk to her and admire it, but no one else had reached out to speak to her? And I think it's because sometimes we just don't know what to say to other people. Maybe we don't know what to say to somebody who's older or somebody who's younger, but you know what? We can ask questions. And the more you ask questions of other people, the more you find out about them. One of the things I think that we need to get away from is that question of what do you do? Most of us do that. We're with a group of people. What do you do? And if the standard answer is usually something about work, because we usually ask people, what do you do for work? Or at least that's what we mean when we say, what do you do? I mean, not too many people say, I laugh, I play, I run, I paint. You know, they usually respond with what they do for their work, for their profession. And so maybe we need to ask them some other kinds of questions. I asked a lady not too long ago, what is it that you do? And she said, oh, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. You know, that's a very good profession, being a stay-at-home mom. And so when she said, I'm just a stay-at-home mom, I said, just? What do you mean, just? That's such an important job. What do you like best about that job? You know, I don't think anybody had ever asked her before what she liked best about that job. And then when she started telling me that she liked doing homeschooling with her children, I asked her about the subjects. Well, which subjects do your children like best? Which ones do you like best? Do you like it because you teach it, or did you find a fascination with it when you were earlier, you know, earlier in life when you were in school? And we had a wonderful conversation, but you have to ask questions. and ask questions about the person and what they're interested in, because that will put them at ease. That will make them feel like you really are interested in them, and you really should be. You really should be interested. Don't just ask questions and not listen to the answer. I've had people do that to me. They ask me a question, and while I'm talking, they're looking all around the room looking for someone else they can go speak to. That doesn't make a person feel comfortable. You want to really, really listen to the answers when you ask someone a question. That makes people feel comfortable. Listeners, every show I do comes from you. This show today is for Jackie in Alabama. Jackie had asked if we could talk about some things that could help people have more confidence. And so that's what I'm attempting to do today, is to give you some ideas of ways and things you can do so that you have more confidence. And if you'd like to know more about any of these things, go over to my website, judymorio.com, and you'll find that we have a newsletter that we send out free of charge, and you can sign up for that newsletter, and we'll send that to you on a regular basis, which will have articles on these types of things, on how to be more confident, how to have more self-esteem. We talk about things in there like business etiquette and all kinds of subjects. We have great writers. We have about 10 really good writers that write articles for the magazine. And so sign up for the newsletter and the magazine. That's my Motivational Tidbits newsletter and Winning Solutions newsletter, and also our Choices Online Media magazine. So you can also go to choicesonlinemedia.com, and you can pull up all the archives of the magazines that we've had in the last year, as well as the archives of the radio show. You can listen to any of the shows from the previous 50 to 60 shows that are right there. And there's some really, really good subjects. So thank you for listening to me today. And write me, Judy at judymorio.com. That's J-U-D-I at J-U-D-I-M-O-R-E. Whoops, don't even know how to spell my own name. Let's do it again. That's Judy, J-U-D-I at J-U-D-I-M-O-R-E-O.com. Judy Morio, M-O-R-E-O.com. And write me a note. Let me know what you're interested in hearing about, what you'd like me to talk about, any guests you think you'd like me to have. I would greatly appreciate your input, because, you know, it's hard to do a radio show every day and talk for 30 minutes every day unless you know what your audience wants to hear. So please, please, please write me and let me know what it is that you want to hear and what it is you'd like me to talk about. The fifth thing you can do to build your confidence, to help you feel more confident, is to be responsive. Be responsive. Become interested in other people. And we basically just said that when we talked about doing something to put other people at ease. But be responsive. When someone says to you, or they ask you a question, for goodness sakes, answer them with a longer than just a one or two word answer. And ask a few polite questions as well. Ask questions. And sometimes, you know, I don't even think the questions have to be all that polite. It was interesting when I was in Africa. I was sitting at a meeting one day, and a gentleman sat down next to me, and he only had one arm. And I noticed the people at the table were very polite, but people didn't really talk to him. And so I introduced myself, and we chatted for a little bit. And then I said to him, "What happened to your arm?" Now, perhaps that wasn't a polite question, but he knows that everyone is thinking that. And, you know, having had a brother that was handicapped, that had lost his legs, I knew that my brother very often appreciated that people asked him a question about what had happened to him. And it made him feel important that he was the center of attention. So I just said to the man, "What happened to make you lose your arm? What happened?" And he told the most incredible story about how his son had fallen in the river, and this alligator or crocodile, whatever it is, those animals that eat people, I think it's crocodiles that eat people. Anyway, it was swimming across, and it was going after his son. And he jumped in the water to save his son, and as it turned out, the crocodile got his arm. And so it took his arm off, but it saved his son's life. And then a couple people at the table said, oh, I read about you in the newspaper, or, oh, I saw that story on TV. And now he was the center of attention. So it is important for you to make people feel comfortable. And sometimes the things that we don't think it would be polite to ask about, sometimes those are the things that make people feel the most comfortable, because he knew that people were looking at him and wondering what happened to his arm. And so just that, you know, children do that. Children ask those kinds of questions. And while it may be embarrassing for the parents, it often makes the other person more comfortable. Another thing we can do is share the stage willingly. Now, what I mean by that is not literally a stage, but share the limelight. You know, some of us get so busy talking and being exciting and telling about our lives and our stories that we just talk until people want to get away from us. Share the limelight. Share the stage. Have a conversation with the other person. Don't just get started on your own tangent and start talking about you to the point that people just want to get away from you. I've had that happen a few times where I've asked people a question, you know, so I've asked someone a question about them, and that person goes on and on and on. And the worst is when they start telling you how beautiful they are and how smart they are and how terrific they are and how everybody likes them and how, you know, they have the best taste in the world. For goodness sake, you know, talk about things. Don't talk about yourself. Talk about yourself if somebody asks you, but not to the point that you're obnoxious. Talk about the weather. Talk about other people in the room and say positive things. Don't talk negatively about other people. Talk about who you know. Talk about jobs. Talk about what interests you. Talk about art. Talk about all kinds of things and ask polite questions. Find out what the other person is interested in. If they say they're in the jewelry business, find out what kind of jewelry. Find out what kind of metals they like to work with. Find out if they design the jewelry or if they sell it. You know, it is amazing what you can do when you ask questions. What you can do for yourself and what you can do for the other person. You'll both gain confidence once you start really being interested in someone else. Which brings us to our next point, learning to listen. Learn to listen. Really, really listen to what the person has to say. Look at the person when they're talking and repeat back what you heard them say. You know, I believe sometimes we Americans are so anxious to talk that when we ask a question and the other person's talking, then we're formulating our next question in our mind, or we're formulating what we're going to say next in our mind, and we aren't really listening. We aren't really hearing what the other person said. So remember that in listening, there are three steps to listening. The first one is attending. It's like really, really being there. You're looking at the person. You're leaning forward. You're paying attention. You are attending. And the second one is following along. That's the second step in listening, following. As they're talking, you're nodding or you're saying, mm-hmm, or you're repeating back a word now and then. You're letting them know that you are listening and you are hearing what they said. And then the third step to listening is paraphrasing. Paraphrasing means repeating back what you understood the person to say. Repeating back. Now, you don't repeat back in parrot fashion, but you actually repeat it back in the form of a question, or you repeat it back in a paraphrased fashion where you let the person know that you've actually heard what they said and you either understood it or you didn't understand it and you want to know more. So learn to listen. And you know, listening helps your blood pressure. There's research that actually says that when we talk, our blood pressure goes up. But when we listen, it comes down. So maybe to stay healthier, we want to listen more and talk less. That's so very important. And then number 8, realize your own worth. You have to like yourself. Have a feeling of self-worth and self-respect. You can encourage further talk by asking questions. You can talk about the things that you're interested in. You can tell if somebody's interested in what it is that you're saying. I recently met this man who was an art publisher, and he was talking about what he was doing, and I was very interested in that because I'm an artist. And so whenever he asked me what I did, I said I was an artist, and the man actually rolled his eyes up in his head. And I'm sure that he did that because he thought I was saying I'm an artist because he said he was an art publisher. And I couldn't believe it, that he literally rolled his eyes up in his head like, oh, no, here's another one going to tell me they're an artist. So I whipped out my phone, and I showed him a couple of my pictures on my phone, and he said, oh, you really are an artist. Oh, well, you do wildlife. Oh, well, I'm very interested in that. You know, I've published posters of wildlife. Do you have any more of these? And so I was able to turn that around because I realized my own worth. I know I'm a good artist. So when he was rolling his eyes up in his head, rather than being offended, because I'm sure a lot of people do say to him, oh, you're an art publisher? I'm an artist. Let me tell you what I do, or let me show you what. I'm sure that happens to him. And so even though he was extremely rude and it was offensive, I'm just confident enough in my own art to know that if I showed it to him, he would realize that he was dealing with an artist that was a good artist and not just someone saying that they were. Number 9, have something to say. Why is it that when you talk to your best friend, you always have plenty to say, but then we go to these events where there's people we don't know and we can't think of anything to say. We can't even think of a question. I was at this dinner one night. I'll never forget this. We were in Africa and my friend took me to a dinner. I sat next to this lady and she leaned over and she said to me, I'm a kangaroo. Or at least that's what I thought she said. And I said, how nice, because I couldn't think what to say to someone who thought they were a kangaroo. And then she said it again, I'm a kangaroo. And I said, that's really nice. Now, see, my mind was thinking, I wonder what she's got in her pouch or how far can she hop. But I didn't want to say that because I didn't want to be rude. And I just couldn't think of any other questions. And I kept saying, how nice, how nice. And as we were leaving, my friend and I were walking down the street, and he said to me, what was wrong with you this evening? All you did was say, how nice, how nice. He said, you know how to talk. What was happening with you? I said, listen, I really couldn't think what to say to that lady because she kept saying I'm a kangaroo, and I didn't know what to say to someone who thought they were a kangaroo. I'm sorry. I was trying not to be rude, but I could not think of something to say. And he started laughing, and he said, she didn't say she was a kangaroo. She said she came from the Karoo. The Karoo is the desert here in Africa. You live in the desert in Las Vegas. She was trying to create rapport. Now, see, if I had just asked a question, if I had just said, what have you got in that pouch? Or if I had just said, oh, I didn't know kangaroos lived in Africa. I thought they lived in Australia. Well, then we would have both laughed, and we would have had a conversation, and it would have been much more pleasant. So these are some of the things that you can do to build on your successes. You can ask questions. You can realize your own worth. Don't be afraid to try. Don't be afraid to try. And get away from worrying about yourself and start thinking about the other person. Help them relax mentally, and then you'll help yourself relax mentally as well. Just do something to put that other person at ease, and that's going to help you build your self-confidence. That's going to help you feel better about who and what you are. And so build on your successes and accept your successes, and forget about your failures. Forget about your failures. You can just show people a warm response by a smile or a friendly handshake or sincere interest in what the other person has to say. Thank you for joining me today. This is Judy Mario, and this is Choices. And I want you to always remember, you are more than enough.